This is HPR episode 2909 entitled Onyx Basics Part 3, Networking Fundamentals, and is part of the series Networking. It is hosted by Gabriel Evenfire and is about 51 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is, this show discusses basic principles of networks and how to send data using Onyx.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Greetings, you're listening to Hacker Public Radio, and this is Gabriel Evenfire. This is the third episode in my series on command line networking using the Onyx tool suite. However, in this episode, I decided to take a slight diversion into networking fundamentals. So I'm going to cover some new Onyx commands, just as in previous episodes, but I'm going to be focusing mainly on the theories that underpin the modern networking. I decided to do this for two reasons. First, I don't remember that there are any other episodes in HPR that actually start with these fundamentals. And second, I'm going to try to make these episodes on Onyx a little more broadly accessible. As before, if you want to learn more about installing the Onyx tool suite, go back and listen to HPR episode 2882. All right, let's get started. The first thing you need to know is that most modern networks have three characteristics. They are digital, they are packet switched, and they are internetworked. Digital means that the information exchanged in the network is in the form of signals that represent binary digits, discrete numbers in a computer. This is in contrast to analog networks, which carry a range of values that are continuous, not discrete. The smallest quanta of a digital communication is a single one or a zero, a bit. By contrast, an analog signal can take on, say, the values between 0 and 100, with any value in between being possible. Now, digital media can be used for analog communications, and analog media can be used for digital communications. Digital signals can encode approximations of analog signals, and analog signals can carry digital signals and digital information extracted through the processes of sampling and quantization. But at the end of the day, what I want you to understand is that modern networks are primarily oriented around the exchange of binary digits. That is, they're digital. Modern networks are also packet switched, which means that the information in the network travels in finite-sized blobs of those binary digits. In practical terms, most data crosses the internet in units that tend to range in size from 64 to 9,000 bytes, plus or minus. In packet switched networking, multiple parties can share the same communications medium by each taking turns sending their packets over the medium. This is contrasted by the notion of a circuit switched network, where a given network medium gets allocated for the duration of the communication. During the lifetime of a connection between, say, Alice and Bob, the resources used to exchange data between them cannot be used for other communications. Telegraphs and the old analog telephone networks are classic examples of connection-oriented networks. But we have pretty much abandoned those, except maybe at the endpoints. Nowadays, almost all our communications happen in packet-switched networks, sending little blobs of binary digits. Finally, most modern communications are internetworked, which means that they traverse multiple independently managed networks. For example, a home user's Wi-Fi access point, or their local area network switch, or both, carry traffic between devices that they are directly attached to, say, between a laptop and a printer in the same house. But one of the devices in the home network, the home router, actually connects to two different networks. Sometimes the home router is the same device as the Wi-Fi access point or the local switch, but it doesn't need to be. Whatever it is, this upstream device that I'm calling the home router is attached both to the local network and to the internet service provider's network. The internet service provider's network is connected to other internet service provider networks, which are in turn connected to other home, business, organization, and government networks. It is important to understand that each network is only responsible for moving traffic within that network. However, these days, we use protocols such as the Internet Protocol to interconnect these networks in a common way so that traffic can flow uniformly from one to the other. So, three key concepts to start with about modern networks. Modern networks are digital, they carry bits and bytes. They're packet switched, they break data into blobs called packets, and they take turns sending and receiving those packets with other devices attached to the same network. And modern networks are internetworked. They communicate using a protocol that allows traffic to traverse multiple independently managed networks in a uniform way. So let's now start diving into how this works in real life with real data. We'll do this by sending a blob of data from one computer to another that resides on the same network. For this example, I'm going to use two laptops that are running Linux on my home Wi-Fi. We could do all of this on one computer with virtual machines or maybe Docker containers or clever switching and bridging commands, but I think the idea of using physical machines will make this exercise a little more real. Okay, so we're going to have a source computer and a destination computer, and we're going to send information from the source computer to the destination computer. But first, we need a bit of information. We need the data that we're going to send, the length of the data that we're going to send, the address of the destination computer, and the address of the source computer. Let's just send the string "Hello World," followed by a new line. We can generate this by running on the command line echo space quote hello space world end quote. I'm going to use all lower caps for this hello world. Now this will take up 12 bytes total. 5 bytes for hello, 5 bytes for world, 1 byte for the space, and 1 byte for the new line. So now we've got the length. Okay, so we're good so far. Now we need the addresses of the two machines. And what is an address? An address is basically a number that identifies a particular machine. It's actually a bit more subtle than that, because one machine can have multiple addresses because one machine can connect to multiple networks, and each one of those connection points can have a unique address. But, you know, in general, you usually think of an address being a number that identifies a particular machine. Now, standard Wi-Fi uses the Ethernet protocol for carrying data between machines. And this is the same protocol that is also used to communicate over wired interfaces that you connect via hubs and switches with Cat5 and Cat6 cable or fiber cables. So since we're going to be sending using the Ethernet protocol, we need Ethernet addresses for the two machines. And we can find the Ethernet addresses of the different machines by running the ifconfig command on each laptop. That's spelled ifconfig for interface configuration. Now, we need to run the ifconfig command on the Wi-Fi interfaces of the machines, because a particular machine may have multiple ways of connecting to networks. We want the Wi-Fi way. So you can get a list of all the interfaces on a Linux machine by just running ifconfig with no arguments. If you're doing this at home and following along, look for an interface that is marked as up in all caps and which is not named LO or LO0 or anything like that. That is most likely the interface that you are using to connect to your local network. It turns out that one of my laptops, the one that is the source, has a Wi-Fi interface named WLAN0. And the laptop that is going to receive data, the destination, its wireless interface is named WLO1. Okay. So now, on my source laptop, I run ifconfig WLAN0. And I see on the fourth line, it gives me an Ethernet address. And that Ethernet address is 00:22:FA:A7:69:90. That's what an Ethernet address looks like. It's six pairs of hexadecimal digits separated by colons. It's basically a six-byte number. And since each byte has 8 bits, it basically means it's a 48 binary digit number. So similarly, when I run ifconfig WLO1 on the destination machine, I find that the Ethernet address of that machine is 6C:88:14:7C:2E:14. Okay, so now I have the Ethernet addresses of the two machines, the data to send, and its length. Now we can use Onyx to create an Ethernet packet that can carry the data. We do this by sending the output of that echo command I mentioned earlier to the Onyx command raw packet. It's spelled R-A-W-P-K-T. And that wraps the raw data into an X packet format so that the other commands understand what it means. Next, we pass the output of raw packet via pipe to the ethwrap command, which wraps the packet in an Ethernet header. So here is what the relevant command looks like when you string it all together. Okay? Oh, I forgot one part. When we run the ethwrap command, we also pass it a few setting operations to configure fields in the Ethernet header. And I'm going to explain what I mean by an Ethernet header shortly. But let me just give you the full command and then we'll talk about what it means. So we have echo, quote, hello space world, end quote, pipe, raw PKT, pipe, ethwrap, that's ethwrap, space, quote, eth.dst equal 6C:88:14:7C:2E:14, semicolon, space, eth.src equal /0/22:FA:A7:69:90:ETH.ETHtype, that's ETHtype, equals 12, semicolon, end quote, and pipe that to our friendly xpacket dump command, that's xpkt-dump, and that will dump the packet that we've just created. Okay, so if we run this command, now we'll see a packet, a network packet, and what you're going to see now is that that packet starts with an Ethernet header, because the Ethernet protocol specifies that every Ethernet packet has to start with 14 bytes laid out in a specific way. 6 bytes that represent the destination address of the packet, 6 bytes that represent the source address of the packet, and 2 bytes that represent the type of data that is carried in the packet or the length of the data. So if you're looking at the xpacket dump output, you should see that the first 6 bytes of the hex dump are 6C8814 7C2E14. That is the Ethernet address of the destination machine. Likewise, the next 6 bytes are the Ethernet address of the source machine. And finally, the last 2 bytes of that 14-byte header are 000C, which is basically the number 12, which is the length of the payload data that we're putting in there. Now, you may have noticed that we set that length by saying eth.ethtype equals 12, and the field is named ethertype, because most often that field carries the type of protocol that follows the Ethernet header. But when its value is less than 2048, it represents a length and not a type. And we'll come back to this a little bit later. Now, the rest of the data in the dump should start 68, 65, 6C, 6C. These are the numbers 104, 101, 108, 108, represented in hexadecimal, and they stand for the lowercase letters H, E, L, and L in ASCII encoding. If you'd like to see how we convert letters to numbers, you can look this up on an ASCII table. On most Unixes, you can find one by typing man space ASCII. Okay, so what are we doing here? We've created this packet, but why is it formed the way it is? Well, it's like we're taking a letter that we're going to send in the mail, and we're putting it in a kind of envelope. The envelope tells who the recipient is and who the sender is. And in the case of Ethernet, it also tells how long the letter is inside of it is going to be. Putting the letter in the envelope is done by prepending the data that we want to deliver with an Ethernet header. That's the 14 bytes of data that we just described. So what's going to happen next is that the sending computer is going to send this letter to the Wi-Fi switch, the Wi-Fi access point. The access point is going to look at the destination address, and it's going to forward this letter to the computer that has that address. In the case of the Wi-Fi access point, if it actually didn't know which computer had that address, it would send a copy of the letter to all of the computers that it's connected to, and just assume that only the computer that actually has that address will actually receive the data and process it, and that any other computer that receives the letter but is not the destination of the letter will just drop the data on the floor and ignore it. So let's work on sending the letter, this packet. But before we do that, first, let's set the receiver up to receive the letter. For this, we're going to go to the destination machine, And we'll use some Onyx commands to do this as well, to look at data coming into the machine, look at packets coming into the machine. So on the receiver, we run sudo pktin WLO1 pipe to PFLT space quote not space IP space and space eth.dst space equal equal space 6C colon 88 colon 14 colon 7C colon 2E colon 14 end quote pipe to x2hpkt. Okay, so what is this command doing? Well, first we're running packet in, which I've described in previous episodes, which is dumping packets that come in on the WLO1 interface. And it just dumps a stream of all of them, all the packets that might be coming into this computer. But that laptop could be receiving a lot of different traffic. So I use the PFLT command, which I described in the second episode on Onyx, to filter out any IP traffic and any traffic that was not sent to this computer's Ethernet address. So it says, I only want non-IP traffic and traffic destined to this Ethernet address of this machine. This will probably remove most of the extra traffic being sent to the machine because most of the traffic going to the machine will be IP traffic. Don't worry about what I mean when I say IP traffic just yet. We're going to see that shortly. Right now, we should have this running. We should be watching for packets coming into the machine and on the destination machine. And now we can send the packet that we were that we formed earlier. So we're just doing a small modification on the previous command. So it'll look like echo hello world, pipe to raw packet, pipe to ether wrap, and then pipe that to the command sudo space pktout space wlan0. So this whole command line is building a packet up from scratch, wrapping it in an Ethernet header, and then sending it out onto the network. And we're sending it out to the WLAN0 interface, as I said before, because that's the sender's interface, using the pktout, that is the packet out command. Now, if you've been following along and you do these steps and you use your own MAC addresses and your own names for the interfaces, sure enough, you should see the command that we previously saw in the xpacket dump command before on the sender machine show up on the at the packet in command on the destination machine. And yes, by the way, I really did run through this by hand and it really with these exact values, and it does work. So yay, now you've seen how you can send data across an Ethernet network. That won't let you send data across the internet, just the local Wi-Fi or just the local switch. So what about if we want to send data across the internet? Well, the principle is very similar to send data across the internet. We wrap our data in another envelope by prepending it with a header. But in this case, the protocol that we want to wrap it in, that we want to use to send it, is the Internet protocol, which we sometimes abbreviate as IP. So we need to create an IP header. Now, an Ethernet header was 14 bytes long. An IP header is 20 bytes long. An IP header also has source and destination addresses, just like an Ethernet header. But IP addresses are 4 bytes long, not 6. Each IP address refers to a unique machine in the entire internet, whereas an Ethernet address just refers to a unique interface on the local network. Now, in practice, I said each IP address should be unique in the internet, but that doesn't always hold true. To explain why, however, we would have to discuss the concepts of network address translation and probably IP version 6, but we'll save that for another episode down the road. For now, just again, participate in the fantasy that every machine connected to the internet has its own unique 4-byte IP address. So let's now build up a command to build a packet to send from one computer to another using the internet protocol. First, we need the IP addresses of the two computers, and we can find these using ifconfig as before. An IP address is a series of four numbers, each between 0 and 255, separated by dots or periods or full stops, depending on where you grew up and learned English. In this case, the source address of the address of the source machine on my network is 192.168.0.4. And the destination machine has an address of 192.168.0.248. To send raw data over the internet protocol, we have to set the protocol field of the IP header with the number 255. The number 255 tells the receiving computer that what follows the IP header is just raw data and not another network protocol to be interpreted. Unlike the Ethernet protocol, the IP header also has a separate field for length as it does for data type. So we'll need to fill in the length field as well. Now the length of the IP portion of the packet will be 32 bytes. It'll be 12 bytes of data that we're going to send, the hello world, plus the 20 bytes of IP header. So we're going to set the IP length to 32. Now, this is different than Ethernet. In Ethernet, the length only measures the amount of data that follows the header, whereas the IP length includes the header. Now, finally, we need to specify how many devices this packet is allowed to traverse before the network gives up on delivering it. The internet protocol designers knew that somebody would at some point end up misconfiguring the logic of the internet, and packets could end up spinning around in a loop, bouncing between the same set of routers or gateways, which we'll talk about in a second. And if it did that, spinning and sending that same traffic in an infinite loop, it would just consume resources forever. So in order to prevent this, they added a field to the IP header called time to live. And that time to live, in practice, basically says how many hops can this packet take before the internet devices just give up and say, nope, I can't deliver this, and drop it on the floor. Okay. Now, we're really only going to need to pass this packet through one or two devices, but we'll give it a time to live of 64 just to be way on the safe side. And that's pretty typical. A TTL of 64 can traverse the entire internet from one end to the other very easily. So here is the command to build up an IP datagram, which is a datagram is a fancy name for packet when you're talking about the internet protocol. So here is the command to build it up using ONIX commands. So you say echo, quote, hello world, pipe raw packet, pipe IP wrap, that's IPWRAP, space, and then now a quoted string that's going to set the fields of the IP header that we care about. So it goes, quote, IP.SADDER equals 192.168.0.4, semicolon, space, IP.DADDER equals 192.168.0.248, semicolon, space, ip.len equals 32, that's setting semicolon, that's setting the length, space, ip.proto equals 255, semicolon, that's setting the protocol to be raw data, and then space, ip.ttl equals 64, semicolon, end quote, and then greater than sign to redirect this to a file. Let's redirect this to a file named ip.xpkt for our ipx packet. Okay, so now we've stored this ipx packet, and you can dump it with xpacket dump as before by running xpacket dump ip.xpkt. And now you should see a header that is 20 bytes long and has all the fields we've just described, plus a few more that automatically got filled in by the ip wrap command. In fact, we didn't actually have to specify the ip.length field, which gives the length of the packet, because ip wrap is able to figure out the correct value of this field from the length of the data that came from the length of the data that it's wrapping. So in the future, I'm going to omit the ip.length equals 32. You don't really need to specify that. Okay, so now we have an IP packet. So let's send it, right? Well, the problem is we can't. A computer can't send a packet like this into the internet as it currently is. Computers are connected to other computers or devices by local networks. They're not connected by IP networks. And what I'm saying is that these local networks carry the IP networks, the IP network traffic within them. But they don't speak IP as their native protocol. In this case, for our example, the local network is our local Wi-Fi. We need to send this packet to another computer via the local network. So to do that, we need to take the IP packet that we created and wrap it in an Ethernet header. So this is like sort of taking the letter that we put in an IP envelope and then putting it in an Ethernet envelope. So it's like we have our letter, and then we have it in one envelope that tells it how to go throughout the whole internet. And then that we wrap in an Ethernet envelope that tells it how to deliver it to the next machine that it's going to be sent to in the local network. So we can now take that original packet and wrap it that we've just built and wrap it in an Ethernet header in almost the same way that we created the Ethernet packet before. So our command will now look like this. It'll go echo, quote, hello world, end quote, pipe to raw packet, pipe to IP wrap, and then the string that specifies the fields for setting the IP header. Now we pipe that to ethwrap, which will have the same, mostly the same field setting that we used before. So we'll say eth.dest equals the Ethernet address of the destination machine, eth.source equals the Ethernet address of the source machine. But then we will also say eth.ethtype equals 0x800 semicolon. Okay. So it's almost the same command, but we've added one more field to set. Instead of setting the eth type to a length, we're setting it to the value 0x800 semicolon. And now let's finish off the command by using greater than ip-eth.xpacket to dump this whole packet to a file named ip-eth.xpacket. Now, strictly speaking, you don't need to set the eth type when using the ethwrap command, because similar to how ipwrap would be smart enough to fill in the length, ethwrap would be smart enough to fill in the ether type when it realized that the packet that it is wrapping is an IP packet. Now about that value 0x800, that's a hexadecimal representation of the number 2048. And that is a special value which tells the receiving machine that when it gets the Ethernet packet, that the data following the Ethernet header is an IP datagram. So what follows the Ethernet header should be an IP header. And this is sort of just like how the IP proto field tells the receiving computer with a value of 255 that the data following the IP header is just raw data. But if we put a different value in the IP protocol field, we could say that, oh, the value, the data carried in this IP datagram could start with another protocol like TCP or UDP. Now, you've probably heard of those, but I'm not going to discuss those today. Okay, so now we have an Ethernet packet that encapsulates an IP packet, and we should be able to send it between our computers. So to do that, let's start up packetin on our receiver by running sudo pktin wl01 pipe pflt quote ip space and space ip dot proto space equal equal 255 end quote and pipe to x2hpkt. So this is almost the same as the packetin command we gave before, except we changed the filter expression because now we want to actually see IP packets, but we don't want to see all of them. We only want to see ones that are carrying raw data. So the expression now says only allow through packets that are IP and whose IP inner protocol is 255, which, as I said, means raw data. And see, the thing is that sending raw data in IP packets is pretty rare in the internet. So the only packets you should see coming out of this command are the packets we send. All right. Finally, if you've done all of this, you can run the following command to send the IP packet over the Ethernet to the destination. So you can do sudo packet out ip-eth.xpacket wlan0. And success! I see the packet on the receiver. Okay, so why would I bother using the IP protocol at all? I mean, I could have sent the same exact data using Ethernet. Well, the thing is, I could have sent that same packet from the source to the destination, no matter where that destination was sitting on the internet, whether it was on my local network or whether it was somewhere on the other end of the world connected to some school's local network. I would use the exact same IP header to do that. But I wouldn't have sent the packet using Ethernet to that machine because my local Wi-Fi isn't connected to that school, that hypothetical school on the other side of the world. Not directly, it's only connected to my home devices. So I would need instead to send that packet to some device, that is my home router, which knows how to forward it on through the rest of the internet to eventually make it to that destination address. So we can still do this even with our setup here at home. So let's just recap here. The other way we could have sent this packet to the receiver is kind of what makes the internet special. And instead of sending directly to the receiver, we could send it to a special device on the network, which is really just a computer, that knows how to direct any given packet that it receives to any other destination on the internet. And we call these devices routers, or more traditionally, we call them gateways if you were reading the original protocol specifications. The two terms mean the same thing. Think of sending a packet to a router like dropping a letter off at your local post office. You don't know how to get this letter to Las Vegas, but the post office does, and it will handle forwarding it along its merry way. Every computer connected to the internet is connected via a local network to one or more of these routers or gateways. Now, to find out the address of your default gateway for a given computer, which is sort of like kind of like looking up the address of your local post office in the town that you're currently in, you can run a command like this. You can run netstat space dash nr pipe to grep quote caret 0.0.0.0 end quote. By caret or circumflex, I mean the little arrow that is above the 6. Now, if you run this command, the second column of the output is the IP address of the computer that is our default gateway. So running that on my local machines, I see that the IP address is 192.168.0.1. That's fine and good, but I can't send my packet of data to IP address 192.168.0.1 because that's not where the packet is really destined for. The packet is really destined for 192.168.0.248, which is the address of the receiver. So how do we get this packet to the gateway so that it can send it to the receiver? Well, that's simple. We'll send it over the local network to the gateway. And for that, we'll just use Ethernet. So we need the gateway's Ethernet address. Now, I use the ifconfig command to find the Ethernet addresses of the source, the sender and receiver. And we could do something similar with our local router or Wi-Fi access point. I could log into it and I could look at its Ethernet addresses, but there's a quicker way to find out the Ethernet address of my local router. Computers have a protocol called ARP or ARP, which stands for Address Resolution Protocol. And that's a protocol that the computers use to ask each other their Ethernet addresses. So we're going to take advantage of that. A given computer will automatically use ARP when we try to send something to the gateway. So we're going to cheat, and we're going to use a pretty standard program that you find in all sorts of machines, all machines, called ping, to trigger our computer using ARP to find the address of the gateway. So we run the command ping dash C1 192.168.0.1. This will send a special IP packet to the gateway, which will in turn, when it receives it, echo it right back to us. Now, we don't really care about that ping packet. We just care that behind the scenes, the source laptop and the gateway have sent ARP packets so each knows the Ethernet address of the other. Now, we can learn what they learned by going to the source laptop and running the command ARP space dash NA pipe grep 192.168.0.1. So this is saying dump the ARP tables and look for the entry that matches up the IP address 192.168.0.1 to an Ethernet address. And in this case, we find that the Ethernet address of the gateway is 00:0D:B9:23:F2:51. All right, so now we're ready to build and send that same Hello World packet from the source to the destination, but sending it through the gateway. So our command now looks like this. Echo, quote, hello world, end quote, pipe to raw packet, pipe to IP wrap, which takes the same arguments as before to set the fields, pipe to eth wrap, with these arguments. Quote, eth.dst equals 00 colon 0d colon b9 colon 23 colon f2 colon 51 semicolon. That's setting the destination to the router's Ethernet address. And then a space, and then eth.src equals 00 colon 22 colon fa colon a7 colon 69 colon 90 semicolon, end quote. And so that's saying set the destination to the gateway's Ethernet address and set the source to the source laptop's Ethernet address. Now pipe that to sudo pktout wlan0. Okay, so if we run this command while we have that same packet in command that we used before to dump the incoming raw packets, then success, yes. We see that the receiver receives the IP packet with raw data and that has hello world in it. Now, if you look closely at the output on the receiver, you'll notice that the Ethernet source address is different than the one that we put in the packet. In fact, if you look closely, you'll find that the Ethernet's destination address will be the Ethernet destination of, will be the destination machine's Ethernet address, and the source address will be the gateway's source address. Now, what has happened here is that our source machine, our source laptop, transmitted the packet to the gateway, and then the gateway transmitted the packet to the destination machine. So the Ethernet header that the destination gets is the one created by the gateway. It's not the same one we created when we sent to the gateway. The gateway gets rid of the Ethernet header that we put on and creates a new one so to deliver the packet to the destination laptop. All right. Now, that covers all the topics that I wanted to hit in this episode, but I'm going to end it with a little bit of a challenge. There are a few other fields besides the Ethernet header that changed between the between what the receiver received when it received the packet from the gateway versus received it directly from the source machine. Can you figure out what those different, what those fields that differ were? So I would, if you are new to networking and you want to follow along, try the following. Try sending the IP packet directly from source to destination, and instead of piping it to X packet dump, redirect the output to a file. So you'll capture that one packet in one file. Now, try to run the command to send the packet via the gateway and use the second packet in command to grab that packet and dump it to a second file. Finally, now you have these two files, one where we sent the packet directly and one where we sent it via the gateway. So now run pdiff on the two files and see which fields are different between the two packets. Can you figure out what they are, and can you figure out why? Can you, maybe you ought to look it up online. Let's make it a race. If you're trying to follow along and figure out the differences, why don't you look up this episode in the comments section at hackerpublicradio.org and see who can come up with an explanation for which fields changed and why first. For you network ninjas out there, you probably already know the answer to this question just from listening to my description. It's probably second nature to you. So hopefully we can rely on the honor system to let our new and up-and-coming network ninjas try to have a crack at the answer first. And if nobody ends up commenting because this is just entirely too boring, I'll probably give it in the next episode anyways, just in case people don't want to be left hanging. All right. So, in summary, hopefully this has been educational for networking beginners out there. The key things to remember are that modern networks are digital, packet switched, and internetworked. You send data between computers by slicing that data up into finite-sized blobs called packets and prepending the data with one or more headers that tell other computers how to forward the data along to its destination and how to treat it when it reaches the destination. We saw how we can start crafting packets and sending them between computers using a few more Onyx tools. And there are others in the toolbox which are less verbose and even easier to use. If you want to start crafting packets, I would suggest start with the mktcp command, which will generate TCP packets. So look up man mktcp if you want to learn more and a good example. And I'll probably come back to that in some future episode. This wasn't the episode that I was planning on to talk about pattern matching. I originally thought that was going to be next, but this seemed like it would be a good idea for an episode to make the series a bit more accessible to listeners who don't really know networking. Besides, you didn't know it yet, but some of the syntax of the commands that we saw in this episode will be used when we do talk more about pattern matching and filtering. If you want to contact me, as always, email me at evenfire@sdf.org. In the meantime, this is Gabriel Evenfire signing out. Bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.